we're kicking off this final episode of Smart Driving with Pig Spotter in a four-part series that will focus on road safety, driver's rights, practical information, and consumer advice just for you. And he's here. He's a big star on social media. We've all been following him for years. Don't smile. Don't laugh. You know it's true. You know we take you very seriously. Like when Pig Spotter says something about the roads, about a police roadblock, about what you got to do with your car, about auto, we all listen.
Good. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
You've become the authority, dude.
Yeah. Now, I've tried to set a standard of integrity with the brand, and I've tried to obviously maintain it over the last 8.5 years, and
Well, before we even get going, someone says here, as a new biker, I'm asking everybody to please check your brake lights and your hazards and indicators.
Yeah.
When you're at a petrol station, try and ask the attendant to assist so it becomes the norm. Because obviously for guys on bikes, they rely on you signaling to know whether they can go past you or wait behind you or try to get ahead of you or whatever else. Sure. And it's very, very dangerous for guys on bikes. They don't always know what you're up to, and if your indicators don't work, it's a major problem.
Yeah, I mean, and as we discussed on the show last week as well, people are not very observant. People are distracted, cell phone driving. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people don't actually even see these guys coming along, and crashes happen all the time.
Okay, so today in the final episode, we're going to look at some of the questions that you've been asked by people who've heard Smart Driving and people who perhaps want to improve their own driving experience, people who want to know more. Indeed. And they've got a couple other questions. And we've also got Veinand van Vieren on the line, and we'll talk to Veinand in just a second. Is he on Skype? Hey, Veinand, how's it?
Yes, morning, Gareth.
How are you doing, man?
And you?
Good, good, good. Awesome. So, Veinand, you're also going to help us answer these questions, right?
100%.
Okay, perfect. So we've got two people here who know all the answers. Let's start with a question from Gavin McKenzie. He said, what is PigSpotter's personal opinion on the new WhatsApp reporting number by the JMPD?
Okay, I'll tell you what. I've actually got a love-hate relationship with this entire concept. The reason why I do like it is because eventually, after 8.5 years of sending videos and photos to the JMPD, eventually they're doing something about it. Okay, right. So this can be seen as a positive step forward. The negative thing is that they're actually promoting people to use their phones while driving. Okay, they'll dress it up as much as they want, saying, oh, no, you must pull over to the side of the road when it's safe to do so, and then take a photo, and then take a video. But we all know by that point in time, the transgression's already occurred, and there's no way you're going to get a license plate, because all of these infractions happen as you're approaching a robot or as the robot turns green and people are pulling away. And then also, aside from that, you're actually not allowed to just stop on the side of the road for any unknown reason unless there's an emergency.
Yeah. So even so, it's scary stopping in the yellow lane because there are cars that ignore the emergency lane and come down at full speed.
Yeah, and then drive into the back of you.
Yeah.
And funny enough, a gentleman by the name of Grant Campbell, he's actually developing an app called iBleed. And I was actually asked to come on board to oversee the development side or to give my perception on the development side of it.
Right.
From a traffic report perspective, okay, and the concept that we had, and we approached Mr. Michelson, the MMC of Public Safety, about 2 years ago, is to actually create or to have the app as a dash cam on your phone. So it would be continuously mounted on your dashboard, and whenever there was an infraction, you could push a button, which would then you could tweet or bleat. They would call it bleat. You would actually bleat it later on, and that'll obviously be a far safer way of reporting these kind of transgressions.
They obviously didn't go for that.
They didn't go for that, and then a year ago, I actually sent Michael videos of an Audi driving down the yellow lane on M1 South. Sent him videos, sent him photos, because we did a little test run to see if these would be prosecutable. And his response 3 months after that was that it couldn't be prosecuted because the chain of evidence was broken from me sending it to him and him sending it to the JMPD. So obviously now they've decided to just go directly to the JMPD, which at least, it's a step in the right direction, but it's still promoting people using their phones while driving.
All right. And Veinand, feel free to jump in on this one. What is the main cause of road crashes, especially over the festive period? I presume he means Easter. This is from Oliver. So between both of you, do you know what the main cause of road crashes is? Cliff, you want to go first?
Okay. Well, look, my personal perception is impatience. A lot of people, they've had a long year. They've been planning this holiday for 6 months. And, when it comes down to the final hours or the final moments when you're heading down to your holiday destination, I think a lot of people, they can already smell their sea air, already imagining themselves on the beach with their with their feet up, with having a sipping on a cocktail, and then they make stupid decisions. You know, they just want to get there now, and making bad decisions can result in bad crashes.
All right, and Vaynant, yeah. what do you guys make as the main sort of claim issue over the Easter period?
Well, you know, the accident claims are very high over this time. And if I can just add to that previous question, you know, as we said previously, coupled with being patient on the road, you know, avoid using a cell phone. You just put your own life and other people's lives in danger, and also your family. And speeding, you know, if we can keep the speed down, if you find yourself in a scenario, you know, where an accident is imminent, you know, you can always take that evasive action if you're not speeding. So, you know, keep it slow.
All right, very good. Here's another question. This is from Keegan. Where can we go to get a quick check on our vehicle's roadworthy condition before the long trip to the coast? Vaynant, do you want to tell us?
Yes, well, you know, sir, I always advise our King Price clients, if your service record is up to date, the overall condition of the car will be fine. But make sure that you check the tires before you go on the road. And I always refer to, you know, check that wheel spanner, the jack and the spare wheel. You know, if you're stuck in the middle of the road there, in the middle of nowhere, you don't want to sit there with a flat spare wheel and you can't help yourself there. And make sure you have your numbers and everything ready. But there's also the AA centers where you can take your car if it's not been serviced lately. And that safety features, your safety belts, windscreen, lights, as you've referred to it now, you know, brake lights and indicators and so, make sure you check that with the tires and then you know you're ready for the road.
Awesome. I want to play a voice note here from Crypto Tryhard, who has a question about the yellow lane, and maybe you both have something to offer to him in response. Take a listen. This is Crypto. Go ahead.
Morning, guys. I've got a question for Pig Spotter. On Monday morning, I was pulled over by the cops for driving in the yellow lane just after I was pushed out of my lane by two taxis. I did not proceed to pass anybody in the yellow lane. I kept my place in the queue as such. However, about 200 meters later, I got stopped by the cops, gave me a 2,000 rand fine after trying to explain to them that, you know, these guys pushed me off the road. They just said, well, sorry, it's their discretion who to fine and who not.
What do you make of that?
Sure, that is so frustrating. It's actually happened to me, but I wasn't pulled over.
Yeah.
But where you just edged right into the wrong lane.
Yeah. Look, unfortunately, I think the transgression is still there. It applies. The guy's in the yellow lane. What he should have tried to do perhaps is just slow down, give the taxis a gap to get in. The biggest issue is, I mean, I understand the frustration. You don't want to let these guys in. You don't want to enable them to do what they want to do. Mm-hmm. But the point is that they are transporting 11 or 16 odd people, sometimes 45 people, as we've seen, from one point to the next. And the thing is, ideally, they should actually be given priority. As much as we don't like to allow them to push in and so on, but they are providing a service. And the biggest issue, I think, is that the infrastructure does not cater for them. So, I mean, I see it from their perspective, the point that they need to get from A to B. They are transporting the workforce. But in his situation, unfortunately,
yep.
he was just unlucky to be caught at that specific moment in time by cops.
Sorry, dude. Bad luck.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a horrible thing to have to do, but there we go. All right. So, Cliff, you wanted to ask something of Vaynant, which I think a lot of us have thought about, because if you're traveling a long distance, you go through all these one-horse towns.
Absolutely. And I think, Vaynant, one of the biggest issues is if you break down and you're literally in the middle of nowhere, you know, does
my
an
worst
insurance
fear,
company
some yeah. shitty little town
or not even in a town, if you like literally like little grassroots between towns, you know, like, is there a policy that insurance companies have that I can phone, for example, King Price and say, listen, guys, I'm having an issue. I'm stuck here. I have no idea where I am. I can send you my GPS location. And would you guys be able to send a vehicle out to come collect me? Do you offer like a rental vehicle and like accommodation if need be?
Good question, Cliff. You know, there are really good insurers out there. I don't only want a pumpkin price, you know, that will offer this and who really cares. But before you go on the road, make sure that you, if you have this in your policy included, it can, you know, if an accident or an incident, a breakdown of that happens there in the middle of nowhere, you know, it can happen there in the Karoo on your way down to Cape Town. What is going to happen? You either have it in place and your holiday can just continue, or you have to come back home. At King Price, we include a roadside assistance, as I said before, with a number. You just phone the number for anything. It doesn't only have to be an accident. Flat battery, you there on the side without petrol or anything like that. Sure. We send the nearest assistance coming through to make sure that in the first place you are safe, because it isn't safe. And I said it before, just don't stop at a overbridge or something like that and think that you are safe. Be very careful. So phone quickly for assistance. And then make sure your car hire is in place. You know, I always say if you go on holiday, make sure that your car hire that you got from your insurer is the same vehicle that you need to just continue your holiday from there. We send the car hire through to you.
Awesome.
Take control of your car that's been in an accident. Take that, you know, back home or where it can be repaired, while you can just pack everything over into your car hire and your holiday can continue. And if that's not the way that you want to do it, we also include free accommodation for our clients, where we check you in far from your house, make sure that you're safe for that evening, and bring you back home the next day. So it is out there. Go through your policy wording and make sure that you've got cover for it.
Awesome.
All right. Richard wants to know, is it legal to drive in South Africa with a foreign driver's license if you don't have an international driving license? Because you need an international driving license to have one of those and to make it valid, right? So what's the story, Wynand?
Yes, Gareth, it actually is. So you can, all you need to make sure of is when that was issued, it's not valid if you were already then a permanent resident of South Africa. And then it must also be in English. And if it's not in English, there must be a translation with it that at least makes sense, you know, that one can confirm that it's yours, and also with a photograph of the holder and signed. But what you must just be careful, it's not, you know, it will not stay like that. If you become a resident of South Africa, you need to also apply then for a SA driver's license within 5 years. But it will be valid here if you have a foreign driver's license.
All right, I've got another question. This one's for Cliff from Katlego Kasi. Says, are all the fines and rules of the road the same across South Africa?
Okay, look, the short answer is no, they're not all the same.
What? Really?
No, they're not all the same. So what happens is different districts and different municipalities follow different rules.
Wow.
Joburg, for example, Joburg and Pretoria, they follow the Schedule 3 of the ARTO Act, okay, by law, where it standardizes the fines to be charged for specific infringements. Other places like Cape Town, and follow the Criminal Procedure Act. And there's pros and cons to both of these. The pros would be of following the Criminal Procedure Act is that if, for example, you are a pensioner and you get pulled over for talking on your cell phone, okay, in Cape Town, if you are pulled over for talking on your cell phone, it's a 1,000 rand fine. And they confiscate your phone, and then they'll charge you 1,140 rand to release your phone back to you. Okay, so you're paying 2,140 rand.
Mm-hmm.
In Joburg, it's a flat 500 rand, top to bottom, right?
Sure.
Obviously, in Joburg, because it's the ARTO Act, you get a 50% discount if you pay within 30 days, and that's flat across the board. So if you are a pensioner and you're trying to make it through the month on a 1,500 rand grant, regardless of your circumstances, you have to pay minimum 250 Rand. Whereas in Cape Town, because of the Criminal Procedure Act, based on your circumstances, they can actually drop that fine considerably to even a point of scrapping the fine altogether. So you just got to go to the public prosecutor and plead poverty, you know. And the differences include, like, for example, in Cape Town, if you run through a red robot, you're getting charged 3,000 Rand in Cape Town. In Joburg, it's 500 Rand. And also skipping stop streets. In Joburg, you'll get charged 500 Rand.
Mm-hmm.
In Cape Town, 1,500 Rand. So it's also noteworthy to know that if Mr. President Cyril Ramaphosa signs the ARTO Act into law, because we know it was passed in Parliament,
yes,
right, from the first show.
Sure.
If it gets passed into law, then yes, all fines will be under Schedule 3 ARTO Act and it will be standardized then throughout the country. But as it stands at the moment, it's not.
I didn't know that that was the case. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
All right. You've got another question for King Price specifically?
Yeah. Okay. So, Vaynant, I had a very interesting guy on Twitter named Private Capture.
Yeah.
Okay. His name is Axel. And one of his biggest gripes, I don't know if you were following it, was that with regards to the Teleshare group, okay, which is obviously a group of insurance companies, that they are loading two claims on an IDS platform, okay, which was originally a third-party claim. So say, for example, someone bumped me from behind, I then phone my insurance company, I say, hey, listen, I was tapped from behind, this is what happened, this is the particulars of the other driver. And then this insurance company, obviously, they would load two claims, and they would call it an average accident loss. Now, the issue came in with from what he was telling us about, because these two claims come in, one comes as being stated as being repudiated, which is a negative thing. I mean, if you have any claim that says repudiated, it kind of means that you've either lied or the insurance company has refused to cover you for something. And the second one was registered, but it was registered for a much lower amount than what was actually paid out to the guy. And what these two claims do against this person's name, it obviously increases their risk portfolio profile under the claims enabler report, which obviously most insurance companies use that claim enablers report to calculate premiums and so forth. Obviously what this entire system does is that if, for example, I go to an insurance company and say, listen, I need insurance, they'll go look at this claim enabler's report and say, right, hold on, you've had a claim repudiated, you've had this and this and that on your name,
third party claim
exactly. So I'm going to now charge you R1,600 every month for insurance on this vehicle. When if you approach one of the Teleshare guys, their insurance companies are not using this claim enabler report, so they'll be able to offer you much lower premiums and therefore get the deal.
Yeah.
So my question to you is,
I'm going to pretend I understood all of that. Maybe someone else does. Okay, fine.
You're going to have to listen to this like four or five times because it took me a while. So my question to you, King Price, is do you guys also use the claims enabler report, okay, and to calculate your premiums? And if you do, what steps have been taken to validate what's on those reports, whether it's factual or not?
Yeah. Just to quickly sum it up, what you said is that, so there's one incident taking place. Now there's an accident claim on your car, but the insurer will also give you third-party cover, Gareth, and then to split those in two claims. I mean, it was one incident. It's really not very clever underwriting for me. So if I want to determine you as a risk and rate you accordingly, we want to know, are you a good driver? And a good indication of that is, how many incidents have you had, over a period? So if you then ask that question, you want to split that into two and then inflate the premium that's going to be paid by the person. That is really not very clever. Therefore, we don't make use of this no claims in either report. We will ask the client, how many have you had incidents in the last 3 years or accidents in the last 3 years or so? And note that on the policy. And what we also do at King Price is we go and look at, if you had an incident with us and you were not the guilty party. If you were, if you stopped at the mall and someone reversed into you, why should that count as, on your record as an incident that's just going to increase your premium? I mean, that doesn't make sense. We don't take that into account. We make sure that we keep that premium as low as possible, and make sure that, your vehicle premium even decreases according to the depreciation on the car monthly.
Thank you very much for that. Guys, there are obviously lots more questions and there are lots of other things that people want to address, but we don't have time for all of them. You can follow @PigSpotter on Twitter. He's on all social media. You can find all of his updates, and I would suggest you do that, especially if you're one of those people who wants to get the latest information. Thank you very much to Vaynant from King Price for helping us out this morning. Vaynant, it's always nice to talk to you. Thanks for your very helpful tips. And Cliff, we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much.
So there it is, episode 4 of Smart Driving, and by no means does that mean we're going to stop talking to you about these things. But please drive carefully over the Easter period. Next weekend is going to be crazy on the road. roads. Okay. And as Cliff always says, make sure that you've checked your tires, make sure that you've got everything organized, make sure that you've had your car recently serviced. Wheel alignment's important.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Look, I mean, I've also got 10 tips for safe driving on long journeys if you want to hear them.
Let's do it, yeah.
Okay, cool. So number one, obviously sleep, rest. I mean, that's pretty obvious. They actually recommend 7 hours for 3 nights consecutively of sleep to build up your energy reserves.
Right.
And try not to drive between 1 and 3 a.m., which is when your body is naturally tired.
Mm-hmm.
Number two would be snacks, podcasts. Certain snacks actually aid in keeping you alert. So like peanuts and carrots, apparently. I've never tried carrots myself, but apparently that's
all
pretty
right,
good.
Okay, good.
Another one, fluids. So stay hydrated. And obviously the downside to this means you're going to stop more often for pee breaks and so forth.
And I suppose also you should try not to eat too much because that makes you tired.
Yes.
But also remember that turkey is not a good idea, or turkey sandwiches or turkey cold meat.
Okay.
They make you sleepy.
There's an enzyme in turkey which makes you sleepy, yeah.
Well, there we go. Okay, so I'll add that one onto the next time.
Goody.
Another one, obviously, we stop occasionally. So I suppose that goes hand in hand with the whole toilet breaks thing. So, you know, stop every 2 or 3 hours, get out, stretch, go to the bathroom.
Yeah, especially if you're feeling tired. Run around the car a little bit.
Absolutely. Go run a little marathon. Another one would be chewing gum. Apparently, the repetitive process of chewing gum increases circulation and alertness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, something different, because I mean, all of these you've heard before, but something different is using good scents. Now, I'm not talking about common scents, but instead about smells. So, apparently, keeping a source of peppermint nearby actually increases your alertness and increases.
Some smelling salts.
Yeah. It's a natural pick-me-up, you know, which apparently improves alertness.
Right.
Another one, obviously sit up straight, stretch your back every now and then, maybe shift your bum from side to side to ensure.
Yeah, your bum goes numb after a long drive.
Well, depending. Yeah.